Hey everyone, Andy here. Welcome to the Message Podcast. This week, we're continuing our series, Welcome Home, an invitation into belonging and becoming all that God has created you to be. We've probably all heard the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done to you. But how can we apply that to our lives? In today's message, Tyler teaches about how our faith can make others better and what living that out looks like.
All right, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. Welcome to week two of the series we've been calling Welcome Home. For those of you that missed last week, via YouTube, podcast, whatever mechanism available, I would encourage you to go back, get caught up. But here's the message that some of you, again, just need to hear from us as the church you're tuning into or part of today to you. Welcome home. That's who we want to be. It's what we want to be about. It's a message we want to create and offer to our community, to you, for me, for us, for all of us, including your friends and your coworkers and your family members and neighbors, people that need a place to belong, people that need a place to become. In fact, last week, the big idea, or kind of the idea behind this whole series, what we're aiming at for the month of August and beyond as a church would be summed up like this. The welcome home is your invitation into a mission of belonging and becoming. Welcome home is your invitation. This is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. It's your invitation into a mission of belonging and becoming. Just so you hear loud and clear, this church doesn't want anything from you. But you better believe we want something for you. And as much as I want it for you, I want it for myself, and I want it for anybody that follows Jesus. That's why we're excited about what God is doing in and through Bridgepoint. Are we the only church that offers this invitation? No. Are we the only church in which God is at work and moving? No. But we are a church that is excited to follow Jesus and see what he has in store for us as he is at work. That's why we've been very much looking forward to this series and very much looking forward to what it might mean for me, for you, and for all of us. The mission of Bridgepoint that you're invited into is simply this. Bridgepoint Church exists to help people, all people, get closer to God. How do we do that? By believing in Jesus, living his teachings, and becoming his people. Please understand that our mission is anchored into who Jesus is and what he wants to do in our lives. You take that part out and it's just a social club trying to do good things. But what's taking place here is so much bigger than anything we could create for ourselves. Believing in Jesus, living his teachings, and becoming his people. But today, a message that I want you to hear, an aspect of this mission that will help you and me to both belong and become is the beginning part of the mission. Bridgepoint Church exists to help people. To help people. That's a key part of this whole thing. In fact, to break it down really clearly, let me take it back to the mission about why this is so important. That our focus is all people. That's who we are about. And what we want for them is to get closer to God. We talked about this last week, because for anybody that's getting closer to God, that knows him and knows the work that Jesus is doing in our lives, it means there's far more to life for us. All people, that's who we want this for. What? To get closer to God. But we believe that all people will want this, getting closer to God, most when they first see us as Bridgepoint people helping. That's why today matters so much. Today isn't a message about what we want you to do. That's not the point of any of this. In fact, we don't want anything from you. Today's a message about what we want for you. In fact, today's a message about who we want you to become as Jesus guides and leads that. We want this church across campuses and digital devices, across people from all sorts of different backgrounds, experiences, life circumstances, as we try to get to know Jesus better. We want all of us to understand that this message is a message about who we are. And we want to be known as a helping people. That's what all this is about. We want to help people. That's what this is for. We don't aren't with this. Today's not going to be a message, a laundry list of things, a wave of guilt that I'm trying to place upon you about what you are or aren't doing. Instead, today's a message for me, a reminder for all of us about who God has made us to be and whether or not we're stepping into that or not. And this is still just in the review. Remember, last week I kind of asked a pivotal question that's going to matter as we unpack this series. That question was this: is it possible that God wants to make you into something that you're not yet? Is it possible? I'm not going to try to convince you. I don't want anyone walking out of here saying, you know what, Tyler made all the difference in the world that he convinced me that that's true. I'm just simply asking, is it possible? Because if it's possible that God wants to do something in you, in me, in all of us, then what's at stake for us to trust him in that journey? What's at stake for us? What could we miss, but what could we gain to trust Jesus in the journey of making us into something that we're not yet? If you've been attending Bridgepoint for a season, if you've heard messages, certainly from me and our teaching team, one of the scriptures, the verses in the Bible, we call that God's word. It's how he speaks to us today, one of the ways. One of the ones that you hear from me, at least often, is a passage that quite honestly, it's such an encouragement to me. I always get annoyed if you attend churches of how frequently pastors say, this is my favorite verse. So I'm not going to say that, though it might be. And I think it matters significantly because it's Jesus's words. It's his invitation. It's his encouragement as he was just getting started in ministry. Like there wasn't the cross yet. There wasn't churches on every corner yet. There was just a people that were searching for something more and longing for God to show up in their lives. And then there was this guy named Jesus that was the beginning to live that out. But people trying to say, man, what does this mean? We have it because it was recorded by one of Jesus's closest friends. It's a guy named Matthew, an eyewitness to Jesus' life. And Matthew thought it important enough that the world throughout history hear these words from Jesus. He wrote them in the book of Matthew, his tellings of Jesus' story, chapter 4 in verse 19. And Jesus is speaking, and Jesus said to them, to this crowd, to the early people that were going to potentially follow Jesus, he said to them, follow me. That's Jesus talking. Follow me, and I will make you. I can't get enough of this verse. It seems insanely simple. And if you've grown up around church, maybe you've heard this a million times. And if it's true like me, maybe oftentimes you battle to say, but what does that mean for me? Well, for a little more context, what he said, the full statement instead of the dots, he was talking to a ragtag bunch of fishermen back of the day, and Jesus said, follow me and I will make you, those fishermen, fishers of men. Because he was speaking into who they were. He was speaking into what they did, but he was also calling them into something more. Like, I will make you not just fish for a living. That wasn't a communication of less than, but Jesus was saying, follow me and I will add a purpose to your life that simply fishing can't provide. So to you, for everybody, regardless of how you're tuning in today, Jesus's invitation to you, this is not mine, it's the same invitation to me. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. It's powerful, guys. It's powerful. Because his offer is that, like we've been talking, if it's possible that he wants to make us into something that we're not yet, then the way to discover that is through following him. Now, how do you follow a guy that we can't physically see? Great question. How do you follow the instructions of a guy that we often physically can't hear? Great question. How do you get behind a guy that lived 2,000 years ago and isn't physically living in this world today, right now, as a human being? Great question. That's part of what I want to address today. But what if that simple invitation is true for you? Because here's what I know, at least for me. I've tried making myself into who I want to become on my own. I've read a lot of books. I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I've tried to surround myself with people that can speak into me, and all of them add value to me. But what I've discovered is that none of them can speak into the purpose that God made for me, because that was from God. All of them add elements, all of them encourage, all of them speak. I hope that you're surrounding yourself with resources and people that feed that, but none of them can actually do the work that changes me. And that's a big difference. You know what else I've learned? Culture can't teach me that. I'm having a hard time keeping up with which direction is right and which thing is the fad and the focus of the moment, right? Politicians can't teach me that. That, depending on who you talk to, there's widely different beliefs on what's best for me and even for our country. I can't teach my wife how to become who she was made to be. And honestly, that's never worked when I've tried. But I'm also not going to try to put the pressure on her to do a work in me that makes me who God made me to be, because she's no more God than I am. So if you really think about it, where else could we turn to become the fullest of who God made us to be? Is it possible that God wants to make us into something that we're not yet? And if it is, how do we find that? How do we become that? How do we step into it? Well, remember last week, Paul, early church leader, met Jesus. It changed his life. And he was reminding people that Jesus will make us beautiful and whole, much deeper on the inside than just what you see on the outside, but a work that can complete us. And if Jesus is going to do that work of shaping, of making, of transforming, of not just producing good people, because what this is about something so much more than bad people trying to become good, instead doing the work of the sin issue in me that caused me to miss my life and be spiritually dead, but instead to make me alive to the life God has for me now and forever. How can that even happen? Where do I go to find that? Jesus's invitation, follow me. And he said, I, Jesus speaking, will make you. He'll make me. He'll make us. And won't he do it? You see, the invitation here was an invitation into a perspective of our world and culture that, at least from my seat, is what so many folks are missing. Because Jesus' invitation wasn't into a religiosity. It wasn't into a checklist of do's and don'ts. Jesus' invitation was into a life of discovering purpose. And how many people do you know? How many folks in this room, on a campus, on tuning into this message, are so desperately longing to find purpose? How many people are waking up every day and going through the motions and wondering, is there any more out there for me? How many teenagers are in the room that feel so much pressure to have everything figured out, when instead they're missing just a simple invitation? How many kids in our Kids Point ministry are we speaking into and shaping, hoping that the biggest thing they want to walk into is to allow Jesus to shape that purpose? How many folks in our world just don't know where to find purpose? That's part of why I think this Welcome Home series matters. It's part of why Bridgepoint wants to be a welcome home church, because it's an invitation, not because of who we are, but because of who God is, into a mission that helps us find us. Us in who God made us to be. Me in who God made me to be, and you in who God made you to be. This is an invitation into something that this world can't assign, define, or control, because it's an invitation into discovering, to becoming who God, Almighty God, made us, me and you, to be. That's powerful. Now understand, following Jesus, his invitation, it's not like a magic pill that we swallow and everything is illuminated, okay? The invitation from Jesus is not a quick fix, like they didn't fall in line and suddenly discover their purpose. The invitation of Jesus is not a cure-all to life's pains and hurts. It's not an overnight transformation, but it's the beginning of a work that he promises to do as he makes us. And his invitation flies directly into the face of what our culture is all about. Because we live in a fast food consumption culture. I want it, all of it, on my terms, in my way, and I want all that right now. As if everything in life that's worthwhile was just a flip of a switch. The invitation of Jesus is follow me, trust me, get behind me on a journey of my, your, our becoming. That's why welcome home is an invitation into a mission of belonging and becoming. This church isn't about you're just sitting in a room so we can say, look how many people came. This church isn't about your giving to us so we can say, look how much money God provided through his people. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about all those things. That's missing the whole point. This is an invitation into an imperfect people that are trusting Jesus so much that he will help us to become and step into a purpose that this world can't offer us and our souls are longing for. I want to keep it moving, but following Jesus is actually a trust investment that he who is God really will do what only God can do in our hearts and lives. This is following Jesus. What does following Jesus have to do with being a helping people? What is that? How does that fit with the mission at large? Why would following Jesus be important for a mission that is also about helping people? I'm so glad you asked. It's the second half of this whole message. Because in fact, Jesus, as he's beginning to wrap up his time on earth, before the cross is punishment for sin, before the resurrection to offer us and invite us into the freedom of life as sin was defeated, Jesus was beginning to wrap up his ministry and made a really important point. Because a lot of folks that were beginning to follow him got a lot like us. They started asking a lot of questions of like, hey, Jesus, who's really important? Like, we want to do this thing. We want to do it right. But am I doing a good job? Because I feel really confident that I'm doing a better job than he is. And I'm a little bit worried because I'm not doing a good job as she is. So Jesus, who's the greatest? And if I could be so bold, Jesus, would you go ahead and label us as followers about who is great and who's kind of missing the mark? Because, I'm sure their invitation was not just the selfishness of declaring themselves great, but it's also like we want to help those people that are struggling. And Jesus cuts right to the heart. He says, you know, following me, trusting me, becoming who I've made you to become, his word connects it directly to who he is and what his mission was. Because if it's an invitation to follow him, we've got to get behind what he is doing. We can't show up and say, Jesus, I'm here to trust you so that you can make me insanely wealthy, have a nice house, the perfect family, the perfect marriage, get the perfect life. So I'm here, Jesus, to follow you. That's not following Jesus. That's trying to treat him like a vending machine where you put in enough money or time and he's going to give you exactly what he wants. Let's not diminish God in that way, though we're all tempted to. Following Jesus, that trust investment means, Jesus, I want to join you on the journey that you're leading us on. And so Jesus said, you know what the journey is for me? Here's what he spoke it out to those people. Jesus said, greatness, it's tied to how you serve. Even as the Son of Man, he's talking about himself. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This was the boss man. This was the man that said, follow me and I will make you. And he said, what are we following you in? And Jesus said, serving, helping people. It's not about what you get. It's not about what you can consume. It's not a vending machine type of situation. It's an invitation into a journey of becoming. And that journey will find itself executed through helping. I love how Jesus puts it that way. Again, the context of what he was dealing with was people squabbling over what greatness looks like. To give you the full context, two verses before Jesus spoke, here's what he was dealing with. The greatness conversation shall not be so among you. We're not climbing ladders. We're not accumulating. We're not trying to consume. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. What greatness looks like in the kingdom of God are the people that will show up and serve. To show up tired, to show up having already served, to show up again and again, to show up through their resources, to show up through their time, to show up through who God's made them to be and say, I'm not here to get, though I know Jesus will do that in me. But the maximum getting I receive is when I give to help people. You know what greatness looks like? Greatness begins with people that love to get involved and serve, to give themselves away, to show up week after week to hold doors and help people find seats, to show up week after week to serve our kids in Kids Point Ministry, to help them find their purpose, to show up and invest in teenagers to meet them in such a special time in their lives and guide them towards what God is doing, to show up in a community of young adults, to show up as a church and be known as helping people. That's what greatness is. That's what it looks like. That's how you discover it, to find the fullness of who God is making you to be. You first begin by rolling up those sleeves, wearing the dirty jeans and the dirty shoes and saying, how can I serve you? And the more we serve, the more we help, the more we get close to people and be for them what they can't be for themselves, we discover that's what it looks like to become more like Jesus, to become more of who he made us to be. Because God created you with incredible purpose, with incredible intentionality, with special gifts and wired up interests in a way that makes you unique to be able to help people, that adds value to their lives. And in so doing, reflect the goodness of a Jesus who served you and I enough to die for us that we might live for him. He tied it right back to him. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Because, very next verse, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Your chief discovery in your becoming, my chief discovery in my becoming, is best found in helping people. Now, it's gonna look different for all of us with different gifts and aspects. Nobody a duplicate of the other, but purpose, follow me and I will make you. What are we following him in? Helping people. If I could give you a thought, it would be this. When it comes to our faith, when it comes to trusting Jesus, please understand that if your faith does not help people, then our faith will not help us. If following Jesus doesn't move us towards serving, if it doesn't move us towards helping, then we're not going to discover any becoming, because that's where we discover who God is. If your faith does not help people, then our faith will not help us. A key question to process with this is, are we proximate to people that need help? Because if our faith is limited to showing up for an hour or tuning in some other capacity and listening to a message and singing a few songs, that's not a faith that helps us. That's a faith that's about what we can consume. God's not here to vend to you. God's here to call you into something more, to help you become who you were made to be, to help me find the purpose that he has over my life. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but to put it another way, a faith that makes others better makes us better too. A faith that makes others better makes us better too. And I can only say that because that was Jesus' invitation. Follow me and I will make you. And what did Jesus do? He helped people. So when we serve, when we help, when we invest, it will improve our calling. It will add, it will build, and it will help us to become. I'm not sitting here saying, well, here we go again. Now it's a list of things that I need to check off a box. That's not my point. My point is an identity. My point is a becoming. My point is a purpose. And you and I were made that we would live out the fullness of God's plans on this earth. That will not happen if we don't help people. I know so many folks, many sitting in the room, myself included, have been in the space where it's like, yeah, well, that sounds really good. Tyler, I can easily see some people that are living a purpose. Like, we just went back to school, and praise God for teachers as school administrators and those that are investing themselves in the next generation. They're leading in living out a purpose that's changing the world. We can look at Kids Point volunteers and think, man, they just got something special. Or BP youth staff and volunteers that are like, they got that both special and crazy that makes them good at what they do. We see people serving the homeless or living out their calling, doing good things. But like, Tyler, if I'm honest, like, what do I have to offer? I'm not a teacher. I'm not on the front lines, not a nurse, doctor, police officer, firefighter. I can't do that stuff. I work in an office. I sit in a cube. I invest myself fully in my family. Am I making a difference? I mean, is all that purpose stuff? I don't have anything to offer. I've heard great people say, man, I would love to serve, but I'm not good with kids. Or I don't know how to interact with teenagers, and I don't know what to do, how do I do that? You know, I see where you're at, but here's the reality. All of those are great, great, great excuses. Ones that I've used, things that have come out of my mouth, like, what could I do to, what do I have to offer? How could I be used in a situation like that? But none of those perspectives, none of them are trust investments that Jesus will do the work in me that helps me to become who he wants me to be. You don't have anything, you're not good with kids? Have you tried? Maybe it's about getting in there and discovering something inside of you that you didn't even know existed. You have nothing to offer teenagers? What if you jumped in and started serving and found that they connect with you better than you even discovered? What if you held a door? What if you helped find seats? What if you involved yourself in Point Cafe? What if you got involved in a place that says, man, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I'll be good at it. I'm not sure where my fit is, but all of those aren't about me serving. And so instead, if it's a need in Kids Point, God, I'm gonna trust you to guide me where I fit. And if I fit in there, then I wanna be great at it. If it's BP Youth, if it's serving our young adults, if it's serving in the church, God, I don't see it, but you, God, make me. What if we just reached a posture of saying, God, will you make me a helping person? Will you make us a helping people? Will you move us out of our comfort zone? Move us out of our consuming? Move us into mission? And in that mission, God, can we trust you? Can we make trust investments that when you invite us to follow you, that you'll make us? We'll discover specifically more about ourselves that we may have never known. but only because we get busy doing what you've called us to do. And here's a promise, back to Paul. Paul met Jesus, he changed his life, he was never the same, he started leading other believers. And in Galatians, here was his encouragement. Of all tasks, of all way to help, of all the neighbors you can serve, of all the family members you'll get invested in, and all the parts of the community that you could get involved in to make a difference, Paul's encouragement in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul wrote this, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul said, be a helping person. Jump in anywhere, somewhere. Be specific. Be intentional. Start with the church if you need to. Start with outside the church if you want to. Start somewhere and just say, God, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I feel like I have excuses. But God, I will trust you to make me. And when we get good at being a helping people, Paul's reminder is it's not about what we do. It's not about the task. It's not about where we serve, how we serve, what we do. That's not it. It's about God working in and through us that in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Bridgepoint, the invitation into welcome home is that. Are we a helping people? Helping people, all people. Get closer to God. Three things, really quickly. These are the questions that I'm going to ask myself, and I hope you will too this week. Number one is who? We can't serve anyone if we're not proximate to them. Service doesn't happen in a seat. It happens when we're willing to get close. Number two, where? Probably not going to find much service in that seat or listening to this message. So where in our community, where in our church is God calling you to take a step? Number three, last question. Am I becoming? Am I becoming? Because if your faith isn't helping people, it's a faith that's not helping you. But am I trusting God that he will use me the way he made me to become not only who he made me to be, but to see the benefit, the reaping of God working in this world. Bridgepoint, welcome home to what? Welcome home to being a helping people. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that your invitation was never about what we do. It's never about a checklist. It's never about guilt or shame, but God, instead, it's an invitation into belonging and becoming. And we'll discover the best of both of those as we roll up our sleeves and help. God, would you give us courage, energy, motivation to take a step towards helping today for the rest of our lives? Jesus, in doing so, would you make us who you made us? Would you make us into who you created us to be? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This week on all campuses, our focus was on serving, whether through our local or global missions, or something as simple as serving and investing in the church community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a step closer into our community and consider serving in some way, either at one of our campuses or within our digital ministry. If you'd like to know more about what it looks like, please visit bridgepointfl.com/serve. Have a great week, everyone.